Good morning. Welcome to Talking Sense. My name's Alastair Mulroy. I'm your host, and today on the show, I'm joined by Nigel Marison of Blue ESG. Hi, Nigel. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show. Much appreciated.
I'm really pleased to have you on. I've been talking quite a lot about environmental and sustainability, and yeah, really interested to hear your background. And ESG, I guess we should explain, is environment, sustainability and governance.
Environmental social governance, correct. Yeah. Well, I've been in the yachting industry since the year 2000. I mean, preceding that, I was a navigator and round the world sailor. Year 2000, I joined the yachting industry, and the rest is history, so to say. been a captain for about 15 years. And Blue ESG really is a reflection of my leadership style, my ethics and values. And as a leader, as a captain, always trying to see how I could mitigate environmental impacts on board, how I could create crew longevity, what leadership plans could I have, or development plans could I have in place for the crew, and really nurture them so that they performed in a high performance and productive in a productive manner. Community impact was always really important to me, so wherever possible I tried to have a positive impact in the community. Of course, the operation of the vessel in its entirety, what culture did we have on board, and what impact were we having for all key stakeholders. So that really translated into a couple of years of research, and I identified that the way that I was operating and those key elements were reflective of ESG matrix.
I think your starting point for this is really looking at fuel consumption.
Exactly. When integrating sustainability strategy, looking at the biggest impact and really what matters. So the biggest impact that we're having in the yachting industry is scope one carbon emissions. And the biggest saving that we could have actually is by reducing fuel consumption. So that's a product that I have available. And as you mentioned, that topic is going to get even more in the spotlight due to increased fuel prices. And of course, the chance of introducing carbon taxes. So the more that we can take immediate and effective steps to reduce our fuel consumption can only be a good thing for the planet and, of course, for the owner. So he or she gets to reduce their annual fuel bill.
And that's key. This is a way of really demonstrating how you can save cost on fuel whilst reducing emissions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're laser focused on efficiency, system optimization. So if you apply that to the social and governance aspects, you can increase your crew retention perhaps if you have good structures and strategies in place to develop your crew, train your crew, they become a high performing crew who are empowered. And perhaps if the opportunity does come to promote, then if you're promoting within, then it really becomes a great tool. And then, of course, when you're recruiting, you want to recruit newcomers for either school leavers or university, people looking to who are researching whether yachting is for them, then it could be a really great way to communicate how your vessel or your company is managing their people.
I think attracting that talent in is going to be more and more important if you can demonstrate as an operation or as a yacht operation that you're managing or you're working in such a way that's going to give people opportunities and has that support system in place on board to help people and support crew and help them develop their career. I think that's also going to be good for, again, saving owners money in terms of high staff turnover and potential safety risks of that, and actually just generating a better experience.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any owner out there that wants to see changing faces all the time, and to see the same faces on board is really, really important and valuable to the clients. And where also when we talk about the younger generations coming in to yachting, and they want to be coming into an industry which is tackling the environmental issues and which is doing good. If we, you know, if we can convey that, if we can communicate that, then that, you know, further cements you know, that we are somewhere, we are a workplace, a good working environment for them to be thinking about to have their career.
Yeah, we also touched on the in our initial conversation on measuring the positive impacts of a yacht.
Oh yes, I mean ESG comes from the corporate world, and I'm sure many owners will have experience with it, and perhaps even have it in their own corporations. But yes, the opportunity to quantify the good that yachting is having in communities is really important and something that's very powerful, because we do have an awful lot of positive impact and financial and also sort of social impact and initiatives and such for. So I think we have an opportunity there. And considering that we are increasingly in the media spotlight, as you say, reputational risk, that again, it's a great communication tool. We can actually showcase how we're tackling environmental topics, how we're reducing our footprint, what impact we're having for local communities. And sometimes that's direct impact with shipyard, with a marina, perhaps. But I'm really quite passionate to have a model which can spread a little bit further, go a little bit deeper for community. So it's not just a direct impact. So just an example, if we have an opportunity to maybe have the crew go to some sort of initiative, the Seahawk Regeneration Farm in Formentera, for example, or I was in Bermuda, we went to the Bermuda Institute of Ocean Science. You know, it's a great learning opportunity for the crew. We were able to have some cross communication between an initiative and the yachting industry. You never know, there might even be room for a collaboration there, because just taking that initiative, that they were data driven, and we've got yachts going over the Atlantic a lot.
Yeah, so you could be collecting that data for them.
We could be working together. I mean, it's just a really great simple example of how we can form those relationships, those collaborations. Like, look, this is what we're doing, and I think that's something really great to showcase to the public, to the marketplace, not only, and then actually do something good as well.
Because there's also a knock-on effect of the yacht spending into a community, whether it's provisioning or the shipyard the direct impact in a yard or in a marina, but then the sort of that probably knocks on three or four businesses down in terms of how that money is spent in that community. So having an idea of what that is and what the benefits are socially. How are you developing a score? Have you got a scorecard around there? Have you focused on the fuel consumption first, and what's the most important thing around measuring that?
Well, if we don't measure, we can't act. So yes, I do have a methodology. And in the methodology, I have a scorecard, a rating. But that's going to be probably in year two, year three, where that will be implemented. We've got to gain trust and confidence in the marketplace. and take these first steps to implement strategies. And so, yes, the that will be implementing the methodology, and then further down the line, we'll be able to rate or score the yacht or management company based on the performance.
Okay. And at the moment, then the focus is on fuel consumption around the planning of the trips, and also looking at the other energy consumption.
Yeah. Again, first steps. And to get that trust and confidence, and it's the biggest challenge. Yes, and has the biggest impact. Yet it can be the biggest cost saving. So, in order to get to market, let's deal with those biggest items first. Show how the system can work. Show the value, and then we can progress from there. It's quite difficult sometimes, or it's very new. I mean, ESG people don't really know even though what it means, what it the benefits of it. And as such, we need to tread carefully, go slow. We know that these things do take time, and but if we get to step one at least, then we can have an opportunity to get to step two. So
it's looking at all the practices on board in terms of how you're running your generators, what your power usage is, and then what's the best system on board to give you the energy you require, but in the most cost efficient way.
Yeah. Well, if we look at International Maritime Organization, we have regulations there, which is the Shipboard Energy Efficiency Management Plan. The vessels over 400 gross tons, it's mandatory to have part one, which essentially is a document on board. And through my research, that document is not being used. That system is not being used to maximum effect. And that has even been identified by Lloyd's Register itself. And as such, we will have new regulation implemented 1st of January 2023. So you have part one, which is a document on board, which is an appraisal of the vessel and giving you best practice. Part two, which is mandatory for vessels over 5,000 gross tons, which is the C11, I call it the Carbon Intensity Index. And then to be introduced. So both of those systems, both of those strategies have actually been deemed to be box-ticking exercises. As such, the regulation is not working, and they bring in another regulation to overcome that issue. And so we're gathering all the data. The data's there. Everything's there.
Can you see people in the sort of the 50 to 100 meter type vessels that are adopting this voluntarily, and the crew and the captains you talk
to? I've spoken to over 20 chief engineers, captains. Not one is using the system.
So plenty of scope in for...
Absolutely. Our planning does come into it. One thing's, if we've got to get there, we've got to get there. Efficiency doesn't come into it. Well, let's rework that. Let's rewind a little bit and look at our planning. Perhaps we could actually... save a day somewhere else so that we can reduce stress a little bit, save some fuel, save some money. Energy management on board, generators, all systems, the whole scope of fuel consumption, air conditioning, fridges, freezers, the whole scope of where we can capture an image.
Sounds like a lot of this data that you would need to actually implement this is already on board.
It is. From let's say, this has got to be without barriers. It's got to be easy. All right. And so I've always been wanting to try and create a model or a system which we can do remotely, which it's all there. And with real simple processes, if with the sharing of that data, then we can analyze it and and reduce my concentration.
So in terms of, it's fairly early stages for Blue ESG, in terms of your business plan, where's your first revenue coming? Is it more of a consulting model at this stage?
It is, yes. Phase one is always going to be consultancy status. So we have tools available to us. We collect data, analyze, and then we work together with the client. Okay, what can we do to help you? How can we work together to reduce these emissions? That's the first stage product, and that's going to be monetization of phase one. Further down the line, I envisage that we're going to be looking at some sort of online platform, whether that's a SaaS platform or perhaps an app. But I feel as though it'll probably go SaaS, where we can start to harness all that data with some sort of online system, and then even API permissions, so we can communicate directly with the vessel or management company to harness all that information on which to base our decisions.
Right. Who's your ideal client at the moment?
Well, it's somebody that's future focused. Identifies that business as usual is no longer sustainable, that we have to provision for the future, that we have a planet to protect. I mean, at the end of the day, if we don't do anything, then us as humanity, our days are numbered. And the quicker we realise that, and let's take an example that one project that I worked on is we did a transatlantic taking from Caribbean to Eastern Med, and we burnt the fuel that we burnt was actually 180 tons of CO2 emissions. 180. Now, when we think about the average annual emission of one EU citizen is 7 tons. The maths is not great, but that's around 26-27, the equivalent of 27 EU citizens' annual emission.
Been really interesting learning and hearing about your journey to date, and I really hope everything goes well, and I'm sure we'll see you in Monaco in a few weeks' time. I think you're going to be there.
You absolutely will, yeah, sure. Please hit me up.
Well, I'd like to thank Nigel Marison for being on Talking Sense today. Thanks very much for listening.